nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, a very pleasant good morning to you and to you and to you. This is Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. We have a good show for you this morning. We're going to get a little legally geeky with Desi Andrews, and she's taken matters into her own hands when it comes to wanting to protect her freedom, and we're going to meet her in just a second. Stay right there. I think you'll find it quite interesting. Tomorrow we're going to take the day off. We have Open Phone Friday on Friday, and there'll be plenty to talk about. If you'd like to join the show, I believe we're just going to do email this morning. Somehow my, well, you can try it, but somehow my telephone number doesn't seem to work correctly. 888-663-6386. If that doesn't work, email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Along the lines of, well, we'll tell you about next week in just a few minutes. Desi Andrews, I've known Desi for a very long time. She years ago, she taught some constitutional classes in Austin when I participated in when I was on the radio and KLBJ. People would come and learn a thing or three, and she's been studying the Constitution for a very long time. She actually has a PhD in constitutional study and has long been attempting to remove from public office any person who holds the position under the color of law. And she has filed suit against Governor Greg Abbott, Travis County Judge Sarah Eckhart, and Austin Mayor Steve Adler. She has charged them with civil RICO, which is Racketeering and Corruption Organization Act, and she's claimed that they have committed domestic terrorism against the people of Texas by intimidating and coercing the civil population. Desi Andrews, welcome and good morning.
Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah. Well, you live in the Austin area, and what prompted you to do the lawsuits on the governor, the mayor, and the judge, Sarah Eckhart?
Well, most everything I do, Patrick, is, it may look spur of the moment to some, but I'm basically told to do that. I mean, you know, there is a God, and and some of us are guided by his principles. But I was aghast when they canceled South by Southwest. I could not believe that, because I know so many people that have businesses, and that's the Christmas for their time for them. That's when they make their money, South by Southwest and Austin City Limits. And imagine all of the bookings that were made, all of the hotels and airlines and all of these, the people that my son works with just bought $175,000 worth of new furniture that they stage functions for. I mean, it was just devastating. And I could not wrap my head around that for a long time. I still can't really, but then when the coronavirus stuff started flying around, I read up everything I could on the virus. My grandmother died in the Spanish flu influenza in 1918. So I know that these things can be deadly. But she had four children at the time, and she was pregnant. They all got very ill, the whole family, and my grandmother died, but the other five survived, my grandfather and the four children. So I know that there are vulnerabilities, and almost every pregnant woman in 1918 died that got the flu. So, but and I know that people die every day, and it's shocking to me that they put out statistics about death as though those are the only deaths that ever happened. I mean, traditionally worldwide, the influenza kills between 275,000 and 600,000 every year. And it's like Vietnam all over again, the countdown on the television screens. And they don't put deaths in relation to anything. But you ask a question, here's the answer. When I saw Greg Abbott put this issue an edict of disaster, that did it for me. And then, of course, I was gathering the information, and new pal, David Martin, put everything I ever needed to know, all the facts, all the figures that I could incorporate in my lawsuit. And that kind of helped, too.
Yeah. So you have filed...
I sued him.
Yeah. So you sued him, and when you filed the lawsuit yourself, so you're a paralegal. You don't need an attorney, right? You do it yourself.
Well, I'm what they call pro se, which is a really derogatory term. Mm-hmm. That means non-bar card attorney.
Non-bar
card. Yes, that's me.
That's you. And so you've been in court a few times over the years. I know that you've also helped ladies with the kids. You've got a lot of experience with that.
Oh, the CPS.
The CPS, yeah.
Well, I've helped with mortgages. I've helped with CPS. I've helped with people charged with criminal stuff.
Uh-huh.
I've made my bailiwick, unfortunately, in the courts. When people ask me what I do, I say I swim in the sewers every day. basically what it...
So are you saying that the courts are, if I can use the term, Desi Andrews, are pretty swampy places?
Oh,
like the swamp? We know of the swamp.
Yes, this is definitely a swamp.
Mm-hmm, it is. Desi Andrews is with us, Patrick Timpone. So you file a lawsuit against the governor, the mayor, and judge. Why the Judge Eckhardt? What was the lawsuit against her?
Well, here's what happened. It was really kind of funny. If you watch these little power grabs, all of these bureaucrats are in there for the power. I mean, it's amazing to see the power struggles that go on.
Mm.
And everyone is jousting for more power than the last one. So when Abbott released his declaration of disaster on March 13th, and the very next day, Sarah Eckhardt, who had already given out the press release that she was going to leave the position of county judge, and run for a state senator position that had just opened up, she immediately jumped back in and started issuing orders. We're not talking about declarations of disaster. We're talking orders. She's got a 32-page order, edict, and therefore, and herefore, in public record, because she posts her orders in the county clerk's office as a public record. She jumped in and started issuing orders. She has... Well, Abbott didn't have the authority to do that, and she definitely doesn't have the authority. And then she got together with Abbott, who's always power-grabbing. There's nothing he did. I mean, he would grab a turnip and try to squeeze blood out of it. I mean, he's always after power. He jumped in. So Abbott and Eckhardt kind of teamed up and to see how many orders they could throw around and how much more onerous they could make their orders than the governor, who really, if you look at the governor's stuff, it's more suggestion than it is an edict or an order.
Yes. So Governor Abbott was, he was beginning to open things up. And then a couple of weeks ago, something happened. He turned around. I guess it was because so many new, quote, cases, unquote, and we can talk about what that means. And then he said then now a masking order, 24, is so the masking order 24/7 or suggestion, whatever, is that what really prompted then the lawsuits?
Oh, no. I filed.
You were on it
long before that.
Oh, you did? Okay. No, I didn't know. No.
Oh, yeah. I filed maybe in April.
Oh, you did? Okay. So in April, you filed documents to the governor and the
federal
mayor.
Federal court.
Yeah. Where?
Federal court.
In federal court. And charging them with civil RICO. What is that, RICO?
Well, civil RICO is racketeering, and it means that it's a conspiracy. A bunch of it was originally thought up by who used to be the mayor and is now Trump's attorney.
Giuliani.
Giuliani is the one that really pushed the RICO Act because he wanted to get the mafia and make his name, and so it's the mafia was an enterprise. And so if anybody was in the mafia, what applied to one applied to all. And the enterprise was engaged in doing something destructive to robbing people or stealing from people. But there are actions against well, people basically. But in because of the 911, the Patriot Act was put on the books, and they pretend as though that thing got written in the 3 days from the bombing to the, or whatever it was, to the time it was released. Nobody had ever read it, but it had been prepared for a long time in advance. And at Section 802 of the Patriot Act, it says that it defines domestic terrorism. And it says that it's any activity that involves acts dangerous to human life that violate the laws of the United States or any state and appear to be intended to intimidate or coerce a civil population, influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion, and to affect the conduct of a government by mass destruction, assassination, or kidnapping. Now, you may not think that being confined to your house is an act of kidnapping, but that's kind of how I look at it. And they certainly have intimidated or coerced a civil population. They're terrified. They terrified an entire population. And they influenced the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion. All of your rights went out the window. The rights protected by a government went out the window when they declared this terrifying pandemic.
So, on the website, Governor Abbott says, according to the Texas Constitution, I have the authority to do this, blah, blah. Have you studied the Texas Constitution, Desi? And is that
We have one of the finest. I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's right. But have you studied, and is he correct? Does he have the authority to tell people what to do?
Well, all of these in the government we have, which is an administrative government, have the right to issue executive orders. They don't really, but that's been the policy. Mm. And when we live in not a constitutional state, but an administrative state, then yes, they have that right. If we had a constitutional state, no, they would not have that right. However, Governor Abbott has the power to issue an emergency disaster, a condition of emergency disaster. Mm-hmm. But that is always after the storm hits Houston, or after the buildings are torn down, or after the tornado hits. It's always after the disaster has struck. His declaration of disaster says, now remember, bear in mind, Patrick, that there are 29 million people in Texas. Mm-hmm. His disaster says that he has declared a disaster because 30 people have been diagnosed with coronavirus COVID-19. Well, you have to separate those two things, because one's a disease and one's a virus, but they don't even know that much when he did this. So 30 people have been infected with COVID-19. And an additional 50 are waiting, have been tested, but the results aren't back yet. So let's say that the 50 came, because the tests were so inaccurate anyway. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say that the 50 people who are waiting tests were diagnosed with having COVID. Then we've got 80 people, no deaths, 80 people who might have the flu or a serious flu. Mm-hmm. And for that, he took all the rights of the citizens of Texas, the people of Texas, and threw him out the window.
So
he does not have that authority. He does not have that right.
But if he can argue that it is a disaster and I'm doing this and that, constitutionally, is he on solid ground? If there was a disaster or is a disaster, if he can prove that?
In the administrative state that exists, yes, he could.
He could. So tell folks the difference between, and I don't want to get too geeky here, but it's, you know, you've mentioned it twice, so we need to know the difference between an administrative government and a constitutional government, just as simply as possible.
The administrative government consists of agencies. They have they're quasi-judicial, quasi-legislative, and quasi-executive. So they fit all the categories. It's one agency that holds all the power over a certain agenda, like Health and Human Services or Transportation Code, or those are agencies. Mm-hmm. And the agencies make what was supposed to justify agencies is we needed we had some problems during the Great Depression, and FDR said that it was because the farmers overproduced, and that's what the country was told. So we had to regulate the farmers, and in order to regulate the farmers and tell them what they did, we had to establish an agency to limit them to a certain production. So the farmers were told by bureaucrats what they could and couldn't grow. And they justified that by saying they were the experts. So the agencies were looked over by an expert. And what we have here is, in any one particular field, we have a little king. We have a fiefdom, because he sits up there like Fauci. Mm-hmm. He's head of an agency. So he is the expert. He is the voice. He is the one man that control your life.
Is that agency, is that agency under the umbrella of the United States government, Fauci's infectious disease or whatever it is?
Yes.
It is. Okay.
Yes. So the NIH, the CIA, the FBI, those are IRS. Those are all agencies.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so back in FDR, did he create the USDA then for the farmers?
Oh, yes. That was an agency.
That was an agency. So the difference then, and that's, I suspect then you're talking about, this is the way it is in Texas and other states as well as the United States. Same way.
Yes, in Texas. Texas is a big administrative state.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of agencies.
So where's the Constitution of Texas and the Constitution of the United States come in? If we have an administrative government that's just agencies.
It shoved aside. It began with this agency business, began with Woodrow Wilson, and who was a progressive. And what he said was that the Constitution is just far too binding on the governments. Hmm. I mean, we'd like to move ahead and do progressive things and innovative things, and the Constitution shoves that aside. Hmm. So we need a different kind of thing. We need a living Constitution. So calling it a living Constitution, when FDR was installed, what the New Deal meant was, we're going to institute agencies. It's not any more constitutional. Well, you go into court and the judge says, the Constitution doesn't count in here. And he means it, because it's an administrative agency. And so the agencies make their own rules and regulations. When FDR took office, there were 49 legislative bodies, because Alaska and Hawaii weren't states yet. So there were 48 states at that time, and the Congress. So all of those were legislative bodies with the branches, the checks and balances, blah, blah. Okay, so FDR created agencies by that. I mean, it just bloomed, it blossomed, it grew. And under the theory that he could have advisors. Actually, what it says in the Constitution is the president may have departments. That's what it says. That's all it says about a cabinet or agencies or any of that stuff. So these were all executive agencies, but the legislature allowed them. Generally, a legislature says, well, and we now create this agency. And that's the end of it for the legislature or the Congress. Now the agency takes over, makes its own rules and regulations, has its own penalties, does whatever it wants to, has its own courts. So we now have almost 1,700 legislative bodies.
In the United States?
Yep.
Wow. So that's why there could be such a disconnect between whatever, the IRS or the FBI or the CIA and the president or the judicial. They're all agencies.
And that's why we can be ruled by one man.
But which man? Of the agency?
The man, that's right. Right now we're being ruled by Fauci.
Yeah, but what gives him the authority? I mean, why does the president have to go along with Fauci, for example?
Well, it's my belief that the president is going along with Fauci, and he's feeding him the rope the whole time so he can hang himself. Better Fauci to hang than Trump.
Oh, I understand. Politically, but legally, does he have to stand by if he didn't... want to and just do
but he'd be crazy to miss the opportunity if he did.
Oh, you mean so he could just lay it all on Fauci? It doesn't work.
Well, yeah, it's Fauci that's doing this. It's not Trump.
Exactly. Jesse Andrew is with us, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. It's really fascinating. So back if we had a magic wand and we are more of a constitutional government in the form of Abbott or Texas or President Trump, what would be the difference, just broad strokes of how it would operate? What would he do differently, or what could he do differently?
You mean how the government operates?
Yeah, what could he do differently, or what would he do differently if it was a more constitutional government? How would it affect us, we the people?
Well, we had the power and always have had from the Declaration of Independence, which is our document.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, remember when you gave me a framed copy of the Declaration of Independence?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever watched mine, but I touch that when I go out. I touch that when I come in. That is my Bible. That is my rock. That is my guidance, that Declaration of Independence. That is mine. And it says that I am endowed with unalienable rights. And among those rights are the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And you are too. We're all equal. And to protect those rights, governments are instituted among men. Now, the only reason for a government is to protect you and your rights. And when they get off of that, when they get away from that, and they don't protect us because we are the leaders. They are the servants. And now they've turned into the leaders, and I don't know what we are, but slaves. I guess slave is a good word for us. But we have the right to alter or abolish the government. That we didn't put it in place, but it has taken over just like the coronavirus morphs. It has morphed into this thing that controls us at every turn.
Desi Andres, okay, we're going to take a quick little break here. What do you think? Question, comment? Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. I don't really believe the 800 thing is working properly. And, you know, I just don't know why, but we'll just do the emails. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. I don't know if you've had a chance to even think about these saunas. They're incredible. I think it's been about 12 years or so since I've had mine. And now the last three years or so, I use it almost every day of my life, and what I do doesn't really matter because who cares about me because I'm crazy. But I tell you what, I think it's been a real key element to me not getting sick and having a good time and being able to do what I want to do. This conversation happened with Phil, who I have known forever, about the sauna, I think 3 years ago. Listen.
Previously, with a longtime friend, Phil Wilson, the exclusive distributor of the Relax Far Infrared Sauna.
I've been sweating and promoting the benefits of saunas and sweating for 16 years now. Can you believe it?
Wow, 16 years. Regularly that long?
20 minutes a day for about 15 years now.
6 months ago, man, I started doing it every day, and I don't think I've missed a day. How this has improved my life, I mean, I can't tell you. It's pretty amazing. I tell you what, I feel better and better. What's going on?
Well, the proof is definitely in the pudding. And if a person would go to YouTube and search for Relax Sauna Testimonials, they'll get 650 testimonies on what the Relax Sauna has done for different individuals, from feeling better to getting rid of extreme pain to getting rid of neuropathy to just helping a person feel more calm, alert, relaxed, tuned in, and everything else.
And everything else. That's a good deal. We are probably the most cost-effective sellers of these relaxed saunas on the interweb that Al Gore invented. Remember, Al? Yeah, the week before global warming, he did that. Thanks, Al. And just email me if you'd like to get the best price. We're not even allowed to put this price into print because the standard retail, you know. But we can do it orally here. It's $1,150 delivered in the lower 48 for those of you in Portland. That means not Alaska and Hawaii. And we ship them all over the world. We're shipping one to Australia. As of yesterday, I believe it went out the door. And it ships from Taiwan. So if you live anywhere in the world, the only place we haven't been able to ship is to Germany. And I just don't know why that is. I just don't know why. But what the heck? Just email me and we'll get you the proper plug and a good price no matter where you live. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. The Relax Far Infrared Sauna. We have one more day of our colostrum sale. Daniel Vitale is one of your flagship products, of course, the colostrum, which is easy to take, yummy, easy to get the kids to take. Talk a little bit about how it's necessary for the baby calves, but then also that it works for people.
Well, colostrum is the first food for all mammals. So all mammals produce colostrum before they produce milk. And that colostrum works not just in that animal, but it'll work across species and other animals too. And in nowhere is this more true than with cows and human beings. Now, cows produce this surplus, which allows us to take a little bit of that and then turn it into this powder form, which is a fantastic food in smoothies and other confections and things like that. It has this ability to impart the immunity of the animal that it came from to us.
This is a pretty magical superfood, in my opinion, and Patrick's whole gut has continued to improve with more revolutions around the sun, and I've sure had my share of colostrum over the years. Wonderful superfood, and one of the best ones available today. SirThrival, any SirThrival link, colostrum, oneradionetwork.com.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com.
We are with Desi Andrews, who has spent a lot of time in the courts helping people, a paralegal, a PhD in constitutional stuff, and she knows a great deal about how to do all of the work in the courts herself. They call it pro se. So you filed a lawsuit with the governor, judge, and the mayor in Austin. So what response have you received from them? And you filed it when, in April?
Yeah, I'll have to look up and see when I filed it, I think in April, okay. About a month after he did his edict.
And what response have you received?
Well, I knew what the response would be because
that's what they do.
They're pretty, you know, Sun Tzu, the old dude says, know what your enemy's going to do.
Right.
I pretty well know their response. They're all immune. Of course, and that's really funny, Patrick, because I should have made this up yesterday, but both Abbott and Eckhart are missing in action. They haven't answered, and they're in default right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but Governor Abbott answered, and I sued him in his individual and official capacity, knowing that he doesn't hold an official capacity. How do I know that? Because I never run across a name in politics that pretends to sit over me that I don't contact the department in which they have to file their oaths and see if they have an oath of office. In the governor's case, it's the Secretary of State. But I did send him, as soon as shortly after he did the order, I sent him a FOIA, most people know it as Freedom of Information Act. In Texas, it's called a TPIA, Texas Public Information Act. I sent these three dudes all a query, and I asked, how did you make your determinations to say what you did? Why did you spread the information to the people? What medical statistics and scientific statistics did you rely on? Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And also, could I please have a copy of your oath of office, including your Article 6 oath? Now, they don't know what an Article 6 oath is, I'm sure, because that's right there in the pages of the Constitution. I don't think they've ever cracked one. But Article 6 is an article in the Constitution that deals with oaths and says that the Constitution and the laws of the United States are the supreme law of the land. So since they have no respect, nor do they truck in any way in the Constitution. They don't. And these people that get elected, it breaks my heart about elections because people really have a belief that they go to the polls and vote for one or two of these huge corporations, these corporate-run corporations, that it's going to make a difference in their everyday living because most people in this country know something's wrong. They have to know. They feel it every day. And when they get squeezed like this, they definitely know it. So
let's go back to the article. Let me go back to the Article 6. So there's an Article 6 constitutional oath that you're saying that most politicians don't take. President Trump and or Abbott or the mayor?
No, President President Trump is different. The president always takes at the inauguration the constitutional oath for the president.
For the president,
but
okay.
But the elected and appointed officials in states and the feds is different.
They don't.
And no, they have a different oath.
Okay.
The senators and representatives and the members of the several state legislatures and all executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and of the several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution.
Okay, so...
To support,
which is important, mm-hmm. right? To support the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the...
And then, Patrick, at the very... First came the Constitution, then came the first session of Congress, and at the very first session of Congress, the congressional record is in the statutes at large, and at one stat, 23, page 23... The very first stuff that they did, because before that is indexes and stuff, they said that we're going to tell you what the oath in the Constitution is to be. And they say in quotations, I, so-and-so, hereby swear or avow that I will support the Constitution of the United States. And it has to be verbatim because it says they will take it to wit. That means exactly like this.
Hmm.
And... they don't. In the Texas, when questioned, they'll say, well, I took an oath to uphold the Constitution in Article 16 of the Texas Constitution. It has to say to support, and nowhere is there any elected or appointed official that I have found, and I've pulled thousands of these, in the state of Texas that has ever taken an oath to support the Constitution.
So you're painting a picture where... It's just a fantasy land of people believing that they cover themselves, of what you're saying, by not taking the proper oath, and that's how they cover themselves legally?
Well, there's a difference between legal and lawful.
They
cover themselves legally because their buddies, you know, the attorneys that got elected and put on a dress and now sit on the bench, the judges... will give immunity to these dudes when you come after them.
I see.
And then they're also protected by the de facto doctrine. And de facto means that, well, what the hell? I mean, they look like they're sitting there. Let's just let them continue to sit, because if we disrupted it, we'd create such chaos.
Sure.
The people, it would just cause chaos in the people, and we'd have to, people would start suing, and they'd go back, and they'd throw out everything this dude ever did, and we can't have that kind of chaos.
Interesting. So let's go back to, you have three lawsuits in the works. The mayor and the judge have not responded, correct? But the governor has, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So the mayor and the judge, let's get to them first, Desi. They have not responded. And so they are in default. They have to respond in what, 30 days? 21 days. So where do you go from here with those two?
Well, I just put into the clerk that I want a default judgment. And then the clerk will call him and say, "Ah!" And then, because this is all such, I filed in federal court in Washington D.C. And one judge here in the Third Court of Appeals had failed to answer, and I put in the proper documentation to get a default judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that thing was in there 3 hours after my. Default was filed because the clerk in that court called over here to the Third Court and said, hey, she's put in for default. Because a default can be set aside by an answer.
I'm sorry, a fault can be set aside by an answer?
A default can be set aside before the clerk signs the default judgment or the judge signs the default judgment. That can be set aside with an answer.
Okay. So,
in other words, Adler and Eckert, it's not a done deal that they have defaulted. I'll put in for a default, but then the clerk down there will alert him, and then they'll file an answer. And before anybody signs the order for a default,
I see. So that's what happened in the case of the judge and the mayor of Austin. You put in a default, they gave you an answer saying, you know.
No, it hasn't happened yet, but that's what will happen. I'll notice the court today of the default.
Okay. I thought you were going to do it after 21 days. I mean, it's been 3 months, 4 months.
No.
I'm sorry.
Well,
I lost the time frame. I thought you were filed.
Okay, maybe I only sued him a month ago. But I've already had the motion to dismiss from Ken Paxton, the Attorney General. I've already had the answer to Abbott's that was done immediately.
Okay.
And
So the Attorney General answered Abbott's, and he said a motion to dismiss. And you said?
Right. Well, and he says that I don't have standing to sue.
Right.
I don't have the right to sue the governor. The state has immunity. I didn't sue the state. But there's that office of the state of Texas, which is an agency of the state. Everything, and the Attorney General is an agency of the state. It's pretty mind-blowing. But the Attorney General can defend the state and state officials. And it's my premise that he can't defend Abbott because he's not an official. The only thing that cloaks him with officialdom is if he took all the lawful documents, if he filed all the oaths he had to file, and then our people, we have delegated the power to our government, then he has assumed the power that we have delegated to him. Without that, he has nothing.
So that's where you're going to go from here to prove in your next filing. What are you trying? What will you argue with Abbott?
I have already filed my objection to the motion to dismiss on Abbott's thing. And I have said that the court can't move until it can find that he actually holds a position de jure lawfully.
So chances of a court agreeing with that premise is going to be tough because they're not constitutional courts, right?
Well, I do believe that federal judge has taken the proper oath of office.
And he would have to, otherwise he would be liable for something?
Well, it is his job to support the Constitution.
Hmm.
And when they always have ways around it. This is a slimy business. They always have ways around it. And they make up a lot of stuff, too. But it is his job as a federal judge to support the Constitution. And when he doesn't, it's a violation of the Constitution. And all federal judges have a life sentence, I was going to say, a life tenure, unless they act in bad faith or unless they have bad behavior. Mm. And I do believe that not supporting the Constitution is bad behavior. Yeah. So
that's going to be your main premise as he's moving forward is to keep digging in to prove that they can't do what they're doing somehow.
What I'm doing, Patrick, is I have been screaming at these people, speaking to them softly. I have taken my copy of the Constitution and spoken in their meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I have told them you don't have any oath of office. And I've told them that for years. I asked for their oath of office before I filed suit. Governor Abbott didn't even answer my TPIA, which is a violation in itself. But they are imperious. We are ruled by a bunch of imperial pashas, if you will, because they know they can do anything because they have absolute immunity and the people can't. The people are hamstrung. We have no power.
Wow.
In their eyes.
Yeah, in their eyes. But on solid ground, you believe we do. And that's our...
What I said in this is they can't institute the de facto government because the de facto doctrine, remember the de facto doctrine that it would cause chaos?
Yes.
And I said that I believed there to be more chaos on the Texas soil right now than there has ever been, that we're in an absolutely chaotic condition. What's a little bit more chaos?
What's a little bit more? So here's Governor Abbott when he was asked on a local news show about schools. And then listen to this.
We want to ensure that when schools open, the safety of children, the safety of parents, the safety of teachers, all will be the primary consideration. With regard to flexibility, that means that there may be sometimes, even perhaps when the school year opens, when it's not going to be possible for children to be able to go to the classroom because of an outbreak of COVID. In that case, it's going to be incumbent upon the school to make sure they have the flexibility for the students to be able to successfully have remote learning opportunities working with the teachers.
So that was Governor Abbott. So if I can throw in a little conjecture here, when the governor uses the term cases that people have COVID, he's basing it on a premise that's potentially, possibly just not correct. I mean, they are basing it on a test that has been proven scientifically to be not accurate, certainly not in the realm of accuracy as far as, I think it's 80% of false positives, and they have no science to prove that they're actually detecting a unique virus called COVID-19, whatever. So he's basing his premise of closing the schools on a false premise. So let's just, backwards, Desi Andrews, let's just say the testing was correct, and there are actual cases. Can he close the schools in that regard, in your opinion?
He can't close the schools, Patrick. And first of all, there would have to, in order to justify that, he would have to show scientific evidence that justifies what he says, and he can't. Last week, as you know, that Texas Health and Human Services, the agency, sent out the new standard for COVID. And it said that anybody, any Texan who has a cough, a fever, or a headache is classified as having a case of COVID.
Really?
That's what it says.
Who did that? Who did that?
The Texas Health and Human Services agency.
Texas. So they named these little symptoms as people having COVID.
Yes, they are to be considered a case of COVID.
So that's what Governor Abbott is going by as well. Not only testing positive.
Well, they had to justify the second outbreak, the false business, and they had to get the numbers up to justify they're coming out with this new wave, and so they changed the standard. You know, today you're going to buy a yard of carpet, and tomorrow a yard is 12 inches. I mean, you know, they can change the dimensions at any time. So they change the standard of what constitutes a COVID case. They don't have to be tested. But when one person has a case of COVID, it's a known fact that they have family and friends. And so they have determined that those family and friends constitute a body of 15. So any one case of COVID, and remember, that's a person that has a headache, a fever, or a cough. One case of COVID actually is 16.
Yes.
So honest to God, they counted as 16.
Are you aware, Des Andrews, are they doing this kind of a redefining what COVID is in other states as well? Do we know?
No. They're redefining what constitutes a case of COVID.
What constitutes a case of COVID? Okay. What constitutes? New Jersey is doing a mask law that was out this morning. So let's go back to the idea of a medical experiment. As you know, and you heard David Martin on our show talking about medical experiment. His contention is, pretty clever guy, that the governor and the mayor and other people cannot force you to do a medical experiment. And that's against, 21 CFR 20.50. Do you think Martin is accurate with that they're on shaky ground because they're mandating you do a medical experiment because there's no science behind masking or social distancing?
Well, first of all, let me remark about David Martin. I don't think the man opens his mouth and says anything but factual statements. I mean, ever. He doesn't exaggerate. He doesn't misuse. He speaks the absolute truth. Yes, that's called medical experimentation, and that particular thing was outed in the 40s when they had held the Nuremberg trials. And they were so aghast because they went into it extensively about the medical experimentation that was done on the prisoners of the of the Reich. And of course, that wasn't with their permission. And so they passed a Nuremberg Act that says that you can't do medical experimentation on anybody without their full and complete knowledge and agreement. So this is a huge medical experiment, and these boys are in, when this backlash hits, I wouldn't want to be them.
You think it's going to, because they're going to have to prove that there's science behind what they're mandating?
When the distractions all fail, these are only distractions, Patrick. They are only distractions. And people buy into the distractions, like you just brought up the mask thing. Yeah. You know, that's a distraction. You do, and this is what they do every day. They bombard the people with more distractions, with more fear tactics. So that's all to mask something, as we all know. Let me tell you something. The website that I rely on to check on cases in Texas has been down for 2 months. I can't see what brief is due. I can't see any of that stuff. All of the appellate courts across the state of Texas, their computers are down. I'm not getting notifications by letter from the courts about what's going on. It's as though we threw a spanner in the works and it came to a complete standstill. And I can't even go research at the state law library because all of their digital, the state's library files are down. Now, there is something being, and it's been 2 months now. There is something wrong. I have friends who are IT techs, and they say the backup systems on these government systems is so huge that's almost an impossibility.
So what do you? So what do you conjecture is up here?
Files.
I'm sorry. Sorry, I spoke over you.
They could be purging their files. I don't know what's going on, but it's so suspicious. It's kind of scary.
Same thing going on nationally?
I wanted to make a point about the schools.
Okay.
About they use the schools and the kids. The Constitution of Texas in Article 6, 7 is the public free schools, and it says, and listen carefully here, a general diffusion of knowledge being essential to the preservation of the liberties and rights of the people, it shall be the duty of the legislature of the state to establish and make suitable provision for the support and maintenance of an efficient system of public free schools. Now, tell me what's wrong with the schools. they are to teach the children in the schools liberties and rights of the people. That's what they are to teach them.
Really?
Constitutionally.
I must have missed that part. I must have missed that part when I went to school.
Yes. Well, I guess that's an agency, isn't it?
That's
well,
Andrews.
It is. The Texas Education Agency is an agency.
Desi Andrews, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. She's been studying the Constitution for a very long time. Whoa. So what would be, if you waved a magic wand, these lawsuits, what would be the outcome for you? Best thing at the end of the day when it's over?
Patrick, I never go into these courts. Deep beneath the system of Austin, where the sewer runs, I never go into these courts with any expectation of prevailing.
Really?
Ever.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, every time I file one, I say, okay, I'm going to give them the law. And I do. And then it goes to the person that's sitting in administrative court on the bench, and they have discretion. So what I hope to do with my lawsuit was to inspire people to do something. Just as David Martin said like a month ago in his butterfly talks, people have to do something. He put letters with information, and all they had to do was change the heading and send it to whoever they wanted to make a difference. That you have to tell these people, stop. No, I don't consent. Mm-hmm. And what people have forgotten or never knew is we have one absolutely powerful tool, and that is our sword of I don't consent. In the Declaration of Independence, remember, they sit at the consent of the governed. That's us. They sit at the consent. And I do not consent has been a magic wine for a very long time. People have to learn how to use it, but we can't. Patrick, I was in Central Market yesterday.
That's a local food store for those of you in Portland. Go ahead.
If I'd said Whole Foods, they'd know.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Okay, I was in Central Market yesterday, and of course, I mean, it's an upmarket market. It's really a beautiful store. And there was a gatekeeper there, and he said, mask. And I said, medical exemption. Because you'll notice that when Abbott put his thing out, he always says there's an exemption, mm-hmm. okay? Because mm-hmm. they can't do this.
Right.
So they always have to leave a remedy. So I'm running around the store looking for stuff.
Just to go back a minute, when you said, do you have a condition or exemption, he lets you right through.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's what HEB does.
You know, it's the magic word. So, right. Hmm. I'm shopping in there, and I'm looking in the aisles for something. I was looking, and this happened twice. A lady with a cart turned a corner and was going to come down that aisle and saw me and backed up and went the other way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's terror.
People are afraid. Yeah.
What kind of a thing is that?
I've noticed that the big corporations, HEB, who own Central Market, that it's easy to get you to say, I have a condition. Boom. Also Costco. I went into Gap. I said, I have a condition. I didn't even use the term medical. Boom, right in. So it seems to me that the larger corporations know the law, and they tell the people, the gatekeepers at the door. And maybe. Is that your?
Well, yeah, and I ran in. I went. That's my observation. Okay. Yes, I went into one. I sailed right through every single time. But at one HEB, it just barely came out the day before, and so I had five gatekeepers stop me. I had to back up away from the store, and I kept saying, "Would you please get your supervisor?" So finally, on the fifth person that showed up to keep me out of the store,
yeah,
she said, "Is there a problem?" I said, "I can't wear a mask," and she said, "I am so sorry. I apologize for my partners. They haven't been as well informed as I am. Go right in, and I'm so sorry that we delayed your day."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here's an email for you, Desi Andrews, Patrick Timpone. If you'd like to join, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. This is great stuff. Huh? Karen writes, Adler made this statement on Sunday, July 5th, 2 days after the mask declaration, that we might have to do another shutdown for 35 days. They only say that can happen. Let's see. The only way, that can happen is if Abbott gives Adler approval to do that. Okay. So let me finish here. I called the governor's office to beg him not to allow Adler the power. Part of my reasoning is that they are picking winners and losers and declaring who is essential business and who is not. After staying home for the most of the part of 3 months, I went past the domain off of Breaker Lane and saw that the new soccer stadium was almost completely finished, or at least the stadium seats are up. That is when I knew this stay-at-home order was a hoax. There's nothing essential about a soccer stadium. Choosing the winners and losers is a communist thing. We are being conned. Karen, obviously, who lives in Austin. Wow.
Karen, I laugh because let's look at the Declaration of Independence one more time. The people institute governments among men to protect our rights, and they sit at the consent of the governed. Even in the Constitution, it is very clear we have executive, judicial, and legislative duties that they have to be complied with. One agency can't give delegate part of their power to another one. It's forbidden. The governor doesn't have the right to delegate power to Jack Sprat anybody. That's not the governor's job. He can't do that. He can't convey power on Adler that Adler didn't get as the mayor of Austin. And by the way, they really don't know this, but the city of Austin is a home rule corporation. That means that we're in charge, but boy, that went by. They've shut us out for years here.
Are there other people around the country or the world? I know David Martin speaking in the real lawful, geeky terms as you are to show that this whole thing is a fantasy land. Others? Did you know?
Oh my goodness! I don't know how I hesitate to think how many emails I get every day. And I spend almost 3 hours going through them anymore, which I never, you know, I used to do that in something more productive, but being educated is the most productive thing I can do. So I listen to experts like Dr. Buttar, and Judy Mikovits. I listen to all of these other, I listen to scientists, I listen to doctors railing against this insanity. Mm-hmm. And there's as much opposition as there is, except the politicians use the mainstream media and terrify the people by using the airwaves.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You mentioned a course. I wanted to give a plug because I'm going to do it. You took a constitutional course, even with everything that you know about it over the years, from Hillsdale College. Is that right?
I took a class called Constitution 101, and I feel like saying to people, I'm not even going to have a conversation with you until you've taken this class.
Really? Wow.
Oh, I can't believe what I always knew something was wrong, but I never put it together. And I knew the agencies were wrong. I never put it together until I took that class. And when I came to lesson 6 or 7, I forget which, I just sat here astounded.
Really?
They explained.
Even with your background, that course had that much.
Even with my background, wow. Is all these years of study, I was it just put it everything in a nice careful niche. It just stacked it in the shortest. And now I understand totally. I mean, I fought agencies before, I've got this thing from this law library in Texas A&M where she describes agencies, and she says that Texas is a huge administrative state and continues to expand its administration every day because the federal government continually adds agency power, and so the Texas is trying to keep up with them so they don't have to kowtow to the feds and they can have their own agencies. It's we are so far away from a real government, Patrick, that we can't even really shouldn't call it that.
Mm-hmm. So this idea of domestic terrorism that David Martin speaks about, do you think there's some real daylight here for redress or remedy?
Oh, I know there is, Patrick. Mm. I know there
really?
Is. Really? First of all, I get to beat my drum of oaths, okay? When I put this into the federal court, I gave all the reasons why he is really not an official. He has no capacity whatsoever. He has no authority over the people because he never picked up the banner of the power that we have given to a governor because he didn't file the oath. It's so, so terribly vitally important. Why in the world, if the oaths weren't important, why do you think those brilliant men who gave us this republic, at the first time they congregated in the Congress, why do you think that was the very first item they took up?
The oath.
The oath.
Yeah, wow.
It is the only thing that conveys any power to anybody in government.
And if they
have to take an oath to the people.
To support the Constitution.
That's right.
And most of them do not, correct?
I have not found one single one in Texas.
In Texas. Other states, you know, or the, you said federal?
Oh, yeah. I'm on boards with people from Oregon, California, Idaho, Utah, the western states mostly I've heard from. But New York is an exception. New York, in order to, the New York Bar put out in its magazine several years ago, put out an article called No Oath, No Office.
Wow.
And anybody that could check after somebody was elected, anybody could check the records wherever they have to file their oaths in different places. For instance, the county files theirs with the county clerk here, and it's in public record. And now they file it with the district courts and above, like the legislatures and the judges and the governor. Those people have to file with the Secretary of State. So every time I send a TPIA request to the Secretary of State, I say, I would like a copy of all the oaths he's taken, and they give me through all the terms. They give them to me. Mm-hmm. And I always say, including the Article 6 oath, Article 6, Section 3 oath. And they have no documents responsive to that particular request.
Mm-hmm. Let's go national level and get your opinion a little bit. Do you think that President Trump is doing the best thing that he can with giving more the states and the governors and everything rather than making mandates from the bully puppet there in Washington?
This is what I've seen as far as President Trump is concerned. He's not stupid, although I really hate to listen to him speak. He's not stupid. And I saw him when this first came out. It was after I became aware of this because of South by Southwest. I mean, my interest was really piqued because that just can't happen.
Let me interrupt a second, tell folks around the world what that is. It's a huge convention, kind of get-together gathering. I think they do it twice a year, South by Southwest. They had a film festival. And they do a writing festival and brings millions of dollars and thousands of people into the city. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead. And they cancel
it. Once a year.
Is it once a year?
It's once a year. And not only that, South by Southwest is so successful. My sister in Utah worked for a corporation, and they modeled everything they did after the example of South by Southwest. They followed them because they're just a supreme event giver in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's incredible how big it is and how important it is to this economy. And by shutting it down, they estimate it was, I'd estimate it was at least a billion, but they said between 400 and 500 million that it costs this town. I mean, that goes in the coffers. That produces the taxes that these, whatever they are, this government gloms onto and feeds on.
Okay.
There was something else.
Well, that's okay, but go ahead.
I forgot.
You were going on about South by Southwest, and I interrupted to tell folks what it was.
Oh, you asked me Trump. That's what.
Yeah, Trump. Sorry. Yeah, go back to Trump.
I don't watch TV, but my son does occasionally, and so he was flipping, and I happened to see President Trump say, "This is no big deal." This is, again, I won't say it's not a serious illness. The flu is a serious illness, and it kills millions every year. But he said, let's not get panicky about this. Let's just treat it like it was a super strain of the flu, or worse to that effect. And I know what happened. Here he is, you know, this is just, what, 3 or 4 days after the failed impeachment?
Mm-hmm.
No, they impeached him, but the Senate didn't take it up.
Right.
And his little staff grabbed him by the collar and took him in the closet and said, look, dude, every single case of COVID virus, every death is going to be on your hands. So he walks out and he's very chagrined and he stands in the back and he says, I'll let Dr. Fauci, he's the expert, so I'll let him take over. So Fauci got up and told one lie after another and one story after another. And then he backs out of that one and tells another one. You know, there's not really much consistency with Fauci. But he let Fauci take it. So he doesn't get tarred with that brush.
Yeah.
That's a very smart move.
Because
all of this is political.
It's hard to imagine what Fauci's motive is. I mean, he is, they're calling him Dr. Doom now. So, and there's this other lady who wears a scarf, Dr. Birx, B-I-R-X, you know, the scarf lady. She says that she attributes coronavirus cases spike to reopening too fast. So both of these people have some kind of agenda that's different from the president's.
They make money, Patrick. They make millions every year. These people have used the money of the American people to do research or fund research. And Fauci controls all the research into the viruses. He's the one that gives the grants. Everything goes through his hands.
Wow.
Read Judy Mikovits's book. It's incredible. And I mean, he killed her. I mean, he everything but suicided her. And he would have done. I mean, they would have done that. Not Fauci, but whoever would have suicided if they could have caught her on a particular day. They devastated Judy Mikovits, a very, very promising, incredibly brilliant scientist. And she shows that Fauci, when the blood tests that were associated with the HIV virus,
mm-hmm.
when they began to give the antivirus, those were contaminated, And she blew the whistle, and she paid a terrible price for it, and she attributes 20 million American deaths to Fauci from that alone.
Yeah, I know that argument.
Because
yeah.
He continued to allow tainted materials to go out. But he's the expert. That's what I mean about one person runs the country. We don't have any marijuana in this country because of one man, Anslinger, who was going to lose his job because prohibition was going away. So he created this position that he had said marijuana, very, very bad. And he created a job for himself. And marijuana has been illegal in this country ever since.
By what agency?
One man.
What agency? Whatever.
That would have been DEA.
DEA.
Whoever. I forget.
Doesn't matter. NEC director, President Trump's financial guy, Larry Kudlow, says today that implementing a national shutdown would be worse than the disease.
Oh, well, Trump's not going to do a national
He's
shutdown
not gonna do
because
it.
When things were going south, and he doesn't like this any better than you or I do. I mean, I know that Trump knows this is just absolute falderaw. And he just said, oh, well, you know, this seems to be a segmented thing, so let's let the governors in the states handle it. So when the dust settles, he's going to have the soot on their face.
Here's an email from Denise. Can Texans join Ms. Andrews in this lawsuit?
That's a good question. Somebody asked me yesterday if they could intervene in the suit. Let's get to the real solution here, Patrick. It's time we segue to that. You can actually go on David Martin, his YouTube, yeah. David Martin World YouTube,
right.
and look back and see the documents that you can send to these people to not agree. He said that he put that out one week, and the people in Big Bear were shut down, and that's in California, and they depend totally on tourism, and they were dying. And they sent those letters. And David says that 3 days later, the governor opened up Big Bear for business. Only Big Bear. So it's very selective, but it's because those people sent letters of protest.
She's talking about David Martin on David Martin's World YouTube, who's been on the show. You can go into our archives and listen to some of the audios that we've done with him. Desi, he has a Form 95 podcast. And that's a form that you can actually file try to get some financial financial
remuneration.
Remuneration, yeah, that's the word. Financial remuneration if you feel you've been hurt financially through this thing. But be careful. Don't lie or make things up because that's fraud. So be careful.
What was the name of the
Form 95?
Ask about this.
Form 95.
What?
Oh, Desi. Oh, you mean Denise?
Denise.
Email.
Okay.
Yeah.
Denise, I believe we have some. I think that Catherine Austin Fitz has led me to the solution to this thing, and that's that we have to lift our vibrations. I believe this is the perfect storm. Both for them to take over the world, whoever them is. I think I know who they are, but we really don't.
Right.
And that's another thing your listeners should listen to is that Catherine Austin Fitz, her show about debt entrapment.
Yes, and we've invited her on the show. She's coming soon. I got an email for her, but I'll find that video and see if we put that up. Go
yeah,
ahead.
let your listeners hear Catherine Austin Fitz on that because she is absolutely dead on. And what she's saying is, she said several times, my favorite Bible story is Gideon. And I didn't have the foggiest. And when I asked people about it, they confused it with Jericho, so Joshua, you know, so I certainly made myself very familiar with the story of Gideon. But what Catherine is saying is it's magnetic resonance. I was looking, I've been thinking a lot about the vibration. As a matter of fact, I got a new weed eater, and I was out there this morning doing the weed eating, and when it's not that it was too heavy or anything, but, you know, it vibrates. There's a big vibration with that weed eater. And when I stopped, I was out there about half an hour. I could not use my arms. I could not use my hands. I went to brush something off my face, and I couldn't get my hand to my face. It totally, those vibrations totally disabled the use of my arms. I'm being reminded every day about vibrations because they're so important.
So you're talking about what you think and what you believe and what your motive is when you deal with these things.
Well, look at it. I have known that we need to abolish. There's no altering this thing. And then after I took the 101 class, I knew exactly who the enemy was and what had to be brought down. We have got to get back to our government, the one instituted by men that look to us and can't do this. They have to protect our rights. We have got to do that. And it's almost an impossible task. And when I tell people this, they say, yeah, but the sheep, and they don't understand. We cannot educate these people, Patrick. It's too late. They have been so dumbed down, so propagandized, so filled with false information and fear that there is no way that we can get the majority of the American people to re-educate. We don't have time.
Yeah, yeah.
Catherine says that this is the last battle. I hear that a lot. This is the last battle. We're either at the end of this thing, we're either slaves or we're free.
So you think there's going to be different realities in the United States, people that are acting free and the other people are not, and they'll be almost like two countries?
No, we'll be so enslaved we won't have a voice to get out of it.
But not if you stay in the other reality, right? You'll be.
No, I live in that reality today.
Right.
But I see the misery it gives others. I mean, I will always live as a free woman, but it's going to become harder and harder, and they'll have ways that, you know, I won't have the right chip, or I won't have the right whatever, and they can starve me to death. And Catherine said on that interview to watch The Kingsman and Cell, a movie with John Cusack, and I watched both of those, and I see her point. It's through the cell phone that they control people. They push the button and the people turn on themselves, but it's the vibration that cell phone puts out that triggers these people.
Yeah.
So we know the answer is an enhanced vibration. What people have to do right now is, anybody who believes anything I'm saying, or David Martin or Catherine Fitz says, anybody who does that has to concentrate on that thought.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody watched The Matrix. I don't know anybody that didn't watch The Matrix.
Right.
One of my faves. And when he climbs into that pod and hooks himself up to that thing, we actually have to climb into that pod and direct our energy
mm-hmm.
to the main circuit. And I have set up a GoFundMe, and what I'm saying is, if you give me $1 or $5 or $10, whatever, if you send that money to me, when you push that button to send, you are transmitting energy to me. And it's not to me, because this is, trust me, I'm just a mortal woman. But you are raising the vibration that we absolutely have to have, because just as Jericho fell down, just as Gideon took through the Midianites out, just as has happened time after time in biblical stories, the vibration is the answer. When you called me this morning, I told you I was watching the Maori war chant.
Mm-hmm.
When the Zulus, the great warriors, the Maoris, the Zulus, when they went into battle, the Zulus stood and beat on their shields. They raised the vibration. They beat on their shields, and then they started their battle cry, fierce. The rebels in the Civil War, when they went into battle, they had their rebel yell, and it terrified the people that they were coming at. Just terrified them. And so we know that the answer is in magnetic resonance or vibrations. Mm-hmm. And we have to raise our vibrations to the level that we believe, just like the power of prayer,
mm-hmm.
that the agencies will fall down and go boom.
Yeah, well said. Can you stick around a few more minutes?
Who, me?
Yes, you.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
Okay, me, no, yeah. Okay, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. We're going to take the day off tomorrow. We do take Thursdays off, and I'll finish the screenplay someday and give us some time to write. So we'll be here with Open Phone Friday. I watched a documentary on Burt Bacharach last night and heard this song, What the World Needs Now is Love, and it was really amazing. I put this on Facebook last in the middle of the night, that I had this overwhelming just wave of divine love just all through me, because I really got the idea that, you know, love is really the only thing that's going to get us out of the out of this thing is love. So we put that on, I put it on the front page, and I have it on Facebook too. Listening to that, I think it's quite moving. It's a bunch of people singing What the World Needs Now is Love. And, you know, I think this is similar to what Catherine Austin is talking about. And if you even listen to a fellow like Dave Martin, you know, he's not, you know, foaming at the mouth. He's not all angry. He's not all crazy. He's just presenting what he believes are the facts to be true. And I think that that's where the action is. So, you know, listen to that song. That'll maybe help you. It was a divine inspiration I had that just went on. I couldn't even sleep. Anyway, so that's on the front page if you'd like to watch that on One Radio Network. We have some really cool new little products that we're promoting. Two of them I'll just quickly mention here is the water filter. That's a reverse osmosis water filter. That is the AquaTrue. It's the AquaTrue. And it's a nice one that we fought, we wanted to get involved with for a few reasons. One of the reasons is it's just really good. And it works wonderfully. I've seen the stats, and it just cleans up pretty much anything. I mean, really cleans up tap water. And it's on top of the counter, so you don't have to do any plumbing. And then a cool thing that we really liked and how we got involved with them is they have a payment plan with no interest, and it's only about 300 and something bucks, or very affordable. Most of them are 1,000. So we said, yep, and we checked it out. So you might look at that. It's on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. It's called AquaTrue, AquaTrue, and we like the payment plan with the, you know, with no interest. Thought that was pretty cool. Then we also have virtually the same kind of company, and I think they are the same company, just separate corporations. Is a professional quality at affordable price air filter that you can just put in your home. It's very quiet, very affordable. Again, payment plans with no interest. So these are cool things that you can invest in your health. Andrew Goss used to say one of the best things you can do is invest in your health. And we agree. And because you have to have the mojo and all of that to do all the things we want to do as we move forward here to protect ourselves and to retain our freedoms, because we're going into some challenging times. So you want to have energy, you want to feel good, not be sick, and these things will help you do that. And this one is one of the ones that we think is totally cool to do that. And this is an investment too, because it's a lifetime warranty. This conversation goes back 7 years with Dr. Patrick Flanagan. Listen.
And then I discovered that Hunza water also contained negative ionized hydrogen, which is a source of biological electrons. When we're young, we have enzymes in our body called dehydrogenase, and the purpose of dehydrogenase is to lift off hydrogen ions from foods we eat, and their purpose is to create NADH, which is a chemical that acts as a shuttle in the mitochondria for producing all the energy in our body, adenosine triphosphate. And when people take this, it causes DNA repair. It heals the body from all kinds of oxygen-free radicals. It also helps the body recover from damage from radiation.
Well, we certainly want some of this stuff, right? Check out our AquaCure machine. AquaCure machine on OneRadioNetwork.com. Lifetime warranty. And along with a lifetime warranty, a 1-year, no-questions-asked, money-back guarantee. If you don't like your results, breathe the gas, bubble the water, listen to what Dr. Flanagan has to say about this and others. The AquaCure machine on OneRadioNetwork.com. Use promo code OneRadio, 10% discount.
We are listener-supported, One Radio Network.
We are talking to Desi Andrews in Austin. She's a constitutional ninja. And so you really recommend that Hillsdale thing, so I'm all psyched up about that. And is that a pay-as-you-go thing? Was it very expensive?
No, it's free.
It's free? Wow.
It's free.
HillsdaleCollege.com, I suspect. Constitution 101. Well, how long is it?
It's a series of, I think, 12 courses, and it's lectures, and they run from 20 to 30 minutes apiece. So it's segmented that you can listen to it whenever you have an opportunity. I just don't think anybody could continue living in this country without taking that course. I'm not kidding you. It's that good.
Well, I'm signing up. Here's an email for you. Goodwill refused to let me in. This lady also lives in Texas. Manager said it came down from the head office. No exceptions. I use the I have a health concern line to no avail. The manager said he was aware of the disabled people's law that charges up to $75,000 if ignored, but he said there's a $10,000 fine if Goodwill lets in someone without a mask. Oh, what's a fellow to do?
Well, you know, that's wrong on so many levels because the businesses are threatened with $1,000 fine.
Mm-hmm.
Not 10.
Okay.
The businesses are threatened with $1,000 fine. I was in a store and the lady was at the checkout counter and she was obviously a manager and she said, you don't have a mask? And I'm checking out, man. And she said, I said, no. And she said, would you like a mask? And she had one in her hand to hand me. And I said, no, I can't wear a mask. And she said, could I get you to wear the mask? She said, you know, it's $1,000 fine if we allow anybody in our store without a mask, which it really isn't, but that's the threat. And I said, here's my card. If they fine you for me being in here without a mask, I'll take care of it. That's what I said.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I said, you know, and she said, well, our legal staff has told us that we have to obey this. Naturally, right. Their legal staff did. So I said, did it ever occur to you that this coronavirus pandemic is a feeding frenzy for attorneys?
A feeding frenzy?
Yeah, and walked out because, you know, look at whatever side, the store side, the person side, you know, they've got a feeding frenzy. This is when their next big meal banquet's coming from. I don't know that this wasn't thought up by the bar. Enough of that. It's really tough, but, you know, I guess you didn't need to go into Goodwill that bad enough because I don't want you to turn on that guy. I don't want you to think well of it. Just withdraw your patronage. There are other thrift stores. Withdraw your patronage. I think that's... the poor things are so strapped as it is. You know, there's hardly any profit in this anymore for anybody except a chosen few. And they're slitting their own throat because they think somebody told them they had to.
We're talking with Desi Andrews. She filed a lawsuit against Governor Greg Abbott. That's in the process. Also, Judge Sarah Eckhart and Austin Mayor Steve Adler. And we'll stick around for a few more minutes if you have a comment or a question, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Desi, it looks like more states are in some way, we're going to want to run this baby out, places like Florida. However, we had a guest on yesterday from Coral Gables, and they had a six-hour city council meeting the night before. 100 people spoke. And after 6 hours, City Council of Coral Gables voted to not require face masks. And so I guess that would be a kind of a lesson maybe that all politics is local?
Well, I think you have to take care of your local politics first. It's really the only ones that we have any effect over. But What we have to do is understand the enemy, and we have to gird our loins and get our defense. And I promise you that if you concentrate your energy, we only need 3% of this country. Just as Gideon needed 300 in his army, mm-hmm. we only need 3% of the people in this country to every day think about freedom just a little bit more, to raise their energy mm-hmm. towards freedom, mm-hmm. to come back to a Republican form of government. And if you would go, my GoFundMe is Take a Stand with Desi. Take a Stand for Liberty with Desi. Just type that in.
Oh, is that how you find that? I was going to ask you. Take a Stand with Desi. That's your GoFundMe.
It's Take a Stand. Take a Stand for Liberty.
For Liberty. Okay. We'll put that mm-hmm. on the show page if folks want to send you a few bucks. Good.
And that raises my energy more every day. And what it does is it gives energy to the person that's making that commitment to freedom.
Yes.
And that's how and that's basically what Catherine says in that interview. We have to raise our vibration to a magnetic level that they'll just disappear. Hmm.
A couple days ago on a local news channel, again, a little bit from Governor Abbott.
Masks will be mandatory inside school buildings. Would you like to end that order before school starts? And if so, what will it take?
I would love to have that mask order in before school begins. And let me tell you what it would take. Understand the context in which we're talking right now, and that is today, Texas set an all-time record in the number of people testing positive, an all-time record in the number of people who are hospitalized, and an all-time record in the number of deaths. So, Chris, what it's going to take is to turn those numbers around. What we need is for everybody watching this show right now to understand COVID-19 is spreading more dangerously and more rapidly across the state of Texas than it ever has.
Desi, I think that what he's saying, that if you just look at the news, that the death rate is dropping and has been the lowest around the country since March. It really has. There are more people testing, more and more, fewer people are dying. And to be fair, just to be honest and trying to stay as neutral as I can, it's been proven by doctors around the country that they have been told to write down COVID as the cause of death, and no causation has really ever been proved. There's a Denmark study out, epidemiologists, very geeky people, that say they've looked and they've never seen one case where they've been able to prove that someone has died from, not with, but from this unique virus that is being claimed to exist. So, people like Governor Abbott, they're going by false.
Last week, they sent out that thing to say we're making new standards for this.
Okay.
Right. And I told, if you have a cough, you have COVID. Hmm. So they have played with the numbers in order to sound it terrifying. The most deaths right now, today, we've had 2,000, even with your faked numbers. We've had 2,829 deaths in Texas from COVID.
Even if you give them the numbers, right?
29 million people here.
Even if you give them those deaths as being real, correct?
Even if you count those deaths as actually COVID killed, it's still less than 1% of the population. And guess what, folks? People live and die. I mean, are born and die every day in Texas. It's like we've never had a death in Texas before. They never say it in relation to anything else. And the relation is there is not 1% death rate in Texas yet.
Somehow Governor Abbott took the blue pill. I don't know what happened.
I don't know what is the matter with these governors that's doing. Fitz said it, that they're going to be bankrupt. What they're doing is, you see, governments are not productive. They suck from the people for everything they get. They mm-hmm. they do taxes, licensing fees, all kinds of schemes, fines to get money to live on, and that pays the salaries and the pensions, mostly the pensions of these people that call themselves government officials. And when Adler got $2.1 billion in see, the minute they holler disaster, the government kicks in and sends money, by the way. So there's a monetary madness behind this. But my mind is flipping too fast.
That's right. Just take it.
When Adler got $2.1 billion with a B in his first bunch of his first wave of funding, that it comes to the government, you see, and then the government gives it to the banks to loan. So the banks always come in here, and these loans that people are taking, like the PPPs and the other business loans and whatnot.
Some horror stories.
They have such strings attached that they're set up to fail. So it's bigger than the 2008. This is going to be huge. The businesses that the banks are going to take over now, but when the governor does it, Adler took the $2.1 billion. And he set aside $10 million. Was that for the people? No, he just determined that because sales tax rates are down, they're not bringing as many in. That $10 million was committed to pay salaries of people in the city of Austin.
Brooks Brothers, the oldest men's place in the world, they started in 1818. 1818, 250 stores. They filed bankruptcy today. JCPenney's, Neiman Marcus, J. Crew, just a few of the people filing bankruptcies. President Trump is out this morning with a tweet an hour ago. He says, in Germany, Denmark, Norway, and Sweden, and many other countries, schools are open with no problems. The Dems think it would be bad for them politically if U.S. schools are open before the November election, but it's important for the children and the families. Here's the best part. May cut off funding if the schools don't open. So he's
They get funding. You're right.
He's threatening them. They're going to cut off your money, dudes. Open the schools. Wow.
Well, because they get paid every. I mean, they run on that. The government pays them money to open for each pupil in those schools. But the damage done. I mean, I have next door to me. My neighbor is a superintendent at a school, and she says the tragedy is a lot of the kids in her school are homeless. A lot of the kids in the school get no support at all. A lot of the kids are from broken families. These are really tragic kids, poor kids. And tragic stories. And she said to deny him some safe haven to go every day is a crime, is criminal. And, you know, the schools are still handing out food to these kids. They'll feed them the 3 meals a day if they go by and pick it up. Hmm. But these children depend on the schools being open for their life. And there's no place for them to go.
And this lady works for the school system?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she describes, I mean, she says, you know, my kids are dying. I mean, they're endangered is what they are. She doesn't say they're dying because school children, by the way, the ages between kindergarten and 12th grade are not affected by COVID at all. It's kind of amazing. They're saving the kids, and the kids don't have a problem with the illness.
President Trump is withdrawing from the WHO. That's interesting.
Yes, he is.
Yeah,
yes, he is.
I'm out of here. You know,
beginning in 2021, and we're the biggest aid giver to the WHO.
You know, let's wax a little bit politically, just big picture for fun before we go. There are people out there, Miss Andrews, on both sides will say that President Trump, he's swampy. And, he's just really swampy. And you just can't get in if you're not part of the deal. It's just a big illusion. And other people are saying, no, it is not. It's difficult to imagine, just from my perspective, with Trump getting out of, trash talking the UN, getting out of the Paris Treaty, Agenda 21 thing that he got out of, and now the WHO, that he is all that swampy. He must be, he's got some white hat DNA in there somewhere. Your opinion?
It's a diversion. I don't go to President Trump. I don't look to him to do anything for me. Mm-hmm. I hope he stays afloat. I hope he's in quicksand. Yeah, take your pack off and swim backward on your back, Donald. He is not the one that is doing this to us or can help us with it. This is a case where you have to look in the mirror and say, what do I want? Oh. What am I willing to do? Mm-hmm. Stop looking to somebody else to do something or blaming them for anything. Mm-hmm. We are being manipulated into a slavery position. And I promise you that they say when this comes about, we're not getting out. And they can control your life with a switch or a frequency. You're either going to get a chip or a vaccine or something, and that's what they'll bring about. If you allow them to do this, it's Trump again is a diversion. Let's get back to what we have to do. We have to raise consciousness. Do we not? I mean, aren't you an Umar? How do you say that?
Umar. Umar. Oh, you mean meditate and chant? Of course.
Yeah. So what is that called?
Well, you can call it Om or singing hue or other chants that keep you in touch with spirit. And this raises your vibrations, and that's why we do them. That's right. Similar to what you said, and it's very powerful what you said, is to believe that you are free, to know that you're free, and don't go to the dark side and keep thinking that and knowing that and acting accordingly, and that raises the vibes of other people and helps protect you. I think you're on to something, and so is Catherine Austin Fitz.
And so every single man or woman in this country that believes that and raises their vibes and thinks about not being distracted with masks or... Do you know what I heard today? Do you know what they had today?
What?
You're too young to know about the civil defense bunkers, but you have heard of them, right? Once upon a time, people dug bunkers in their backyard because of the atom bomb that was coming, the civil defense.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, and they had that sign on buildings,
right?
And they committed basements and things to the civil defense thing. That's where you were to run for safety, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. That's what they said this morning about coronavirus.
Really?
You had to pick a spot to go that you're going to outrun this damn virus thing. You have to pick a spot to go, and you need to have a ready bag, like an earthquake bag, I guess. You need to have a ready bag so that you can snatch it and go to your spot of safety. You have to pick it out in advance. You have to have, number one on the list, your sanitary thing on your hands. What's that thing called? the thing you sanitize your hands with?
Yeah, hand sanitizer.
And your masks and your water and stuff. And they're going to have bunkers. I mean... I went outside to weed eat, but because that was a better waste of my time. But can you imagine that they're still saying these kinds of things? Yes. You're going to hunker down in the bunker. Aren't we supposed to stay away from the other people?
Well, I think that whoever they are, Doug and Mel, the boys, that they want to just run this thing as long as they can. It sure feels like that without getting.
Well, when in the world do people say that is just stupid and ridiculous?
Well, a lot of people are, I guess, Desi. All right.
I mean.
All right, kiddo. Thanks for being here. We had a great conversation. Thanks for spending so much time with us. So your GoFundMe thing for the lawsuits are, again, I have my notes, but tell me, how do people find that? It is.
Take a stand for liberty.
Take a stand for liberty. And you'll just Google that.
BESSIE.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily for the lawsuit. The lawsuit is to get people's attention. It's to get the 6% energy level that we need to get rid of the bums.
Yeah, rid of the bums. Well, you heard Adranus from the, did you hear him the other day on our show? Adranus from the star Sirius, he says the bums are going to go. So I don't know if he knows something, but he really, I sent you that video. Did you see it?
I loved it.
Yeah. He said they're out of here. He said, don't worry about it. They're out of here. They're just going to go. So we'll see. All right, Des, thanks for spending some time with us. You can go weed eat now and don't get too...
No, I'm through weed eating.
All right.
Back to the sewer.
Yeah. I appreciate your time. Thanks so much. It was fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Desi Andrews, Patrick Timpone, One Radio Network. That's what Adriana says. Listen to the show from yesterday. And I don't know if he knows something just because he lives on the star Sirius, but he He said the bums are out. They're good. You know, a lot of people are out there conjecturing that many arrests are going on with the pedophiles and other people. We'll see how it plays out. It's going to be an exciting fall. And so batten the hatches. Do what you can. Think good thoughts. And don't get caught up in the movie if you can. And just realize that it's just a movie. So I love you all very much. Thanks for being here. Thanks for your ongoing support. Means a lot. That's how we pay our house payments, by maybe picking up some of the products that we promote. And if you can't, that's okay. You just think good thoughts and you protect your body. You don't need any of this stuff. Just do it on your own. You don't need anything. These are all fun and they're tools, but you don't need anything. You don't need the hydrogen machine. You don't need this. You don't need anything. If you don't have to buy it, these but things help. But if you don't have the budget, don't worry about it. We know by our state of consciousness what we believe and what we think, what we expect. It changes our DNA. It changes our RNA. It changes our gene. It changes everything. And you can protect yourself from everything. The boys, COVID, 5G, simply by changing your state of consciousness and staying there. We know that to be true. So go with that. You don't need a job to do that. Even if you're out of a job, just have a little food and you'll be fine. I love you all. Take care. See you on Friday with open phones, and may the blessings be.
Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.